For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Anthony, last week I used the expression in your face in the modern parlance, meaning, you know, somebody kind of shouting at you. And you said, but that is a legitimate theatrical term.
Well, legitimate, it is a theatrical term. It's a British phenomenon in the 1990s, referring to the fashion at that time for certain playwrights to do plays that were intentionally offensive.
Oh.
vulgar, violent. Shocking, confrontational, and I'm thinking Sarah Kane, who Torn Space has done. They've done Crave, they've done Blasted, horrible, recoiling things happening, you know, someone eating a baby, that kind of thing. Or Mark Ravenhill, his play in New York, which had the provocative, unprintable title, can't say it on the radio either, Shopping and Effing, mm-hmm. And this was in your face, so it does refer to something.
But what about plays that are designed to, well, if not shock, at least get under your skin? Things like subversive theater does a lot. They're supposed to upset you, and you're supposed to be politically woke and go out and do something about it. That's not in your face.
Well, kind of an activist theater, but yeah. You know, but even Greek tragedy was supposed to upset you, that was the pleasure of getting upset and purged of all the bad things you were feeling.
Oh.
It does serve that purpose, though the theater has the power to do many things, upset you among them, but ideally in a sort of a pleasurable way. That's what thrillers do. You know, in film, what Hitchcock masterminded was making you just squirm till you could barely stand it, and you love it, just love it.
Well, speaking of Hitchcock, it's not Hitchcockian at all, but it does kind of relentlessly drive forward Tally's Folly by Lanford Wilson. It's out at Jewish Rep. And right at the beginning, they announce it's going to be 97 minutes long. And you know it is. And in this play, this Jewish immigrant is working overtime to try to reveal everything he can about himself to win over Sally Tally. And she's not revealing anything.
Right. He is trying to show everything. And she is a woman who is hiding everything. She's holding a great hurt inside, and that's the dynamic of the play.
And it just builds and builds. But it's not a suspense play.
No.
It's a Valentine's Day play, almost.
It's a romance. It's two people in 1944 in Lebanon, Missouri, in a folly of a boathouse, this no longer quite young Jewish man courting Sally Tally. It won the Pulitzer Prize in 1980. Seeing it again, difficult to quite recall why. It's so simple. It's such a little Valentine. But not to diminish that it is a beautiful play. And in the list of plays by Lanford Wilson, who wrote a lot of plays, including Lemon Sky, which was originally done at Studio Arena Theater, but Rhymers of Eldritch, Madness of Lady Bright, they're unlike each other. Baum and Gilead, well, the Tally plays, 5th of July, they're part of a trilogy, but Hotel Baltimore, yeah. who wrote. But of them all, this one, the most richly romantic, the most deliciously eloquent language, just lays it on without reservation, just slathers it on like butter on bread. And I did enjoy that a lot in this production. And I thought that Anne Rowaldi Boucher and Chris J. Handley did not hold back, and good for them.
But if you wouldn't mind, let's go back a little bit to, I guess it's didactic, plays that teach, plays that have a message, because teen reality theater, I gather, is putting on one time only, one performance only, a play called A Home Without a House, with a lot of well-intended co-sponsors, including Planned Parenthood of Central and Western New York.
It's an interesting project. Planned Parenthood has had this theater division to help young people come to terms about growing up, this one enabling young people to focus on the idea of homelessness. But what a perfect vehicle, because as you say, the theater does lend itself very well to teaching, and at certain periods of history has been thought to be the primary point of theater, the whole idea that theater was to uplift. But it does hold the power to teach. Well, Brecht certainly thought so.
Well, A Home Without a House, teen reality theater, post-industrial productions, all getting together with Planned Parenthood. One performance next Friday evening at 7 o'clock at Shea Smith Theater.
Well, and I guess the idea is that you're supposed to take donation of clothing or hygiene products or canned goods or things that would be helpful to homeless people. But I think that the best part of all, the teaching is terrific, but I just love the idea of these young people coming together for something purposeful, but being able to enjoy the great joy of participating in a theatrical production. And I think that this is something guaranteed they will remember for the rest of their lives. And you kind of sneaked me across a little line here, because we hear from lots of people doing things with young people, and everyone always thinks that their project is unique. But in fact, theater is used to bring young people together for educational and social and personal growth purposes all over the country. And it's huge to experience the great empowering feeling of doing a show.
What an inspirational speech, Mr. Chase.
Well, we just finished finished exploring the ability of theater to upset us. And so, you know, now the ability to inspire us. What next? We should find a way to make ourselves laugh.
For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.